let's start. So, good morning, Luis. So, first, a few announcements. First of all, I caught a little cold. Therefore, I'm out of energy and also had no energy to really prepare. Hence, today should be a lousy class. Yet, next class should be fun, because next class is a fun subject. It's the construction of a universal finite type invariant using Tinkertoy diagrams, which I, well, which is a fun subject. So please do come next time. Also, if you haven't signed the participation form, either physically or electronically, please do so. Also, homework one is due today, so please submit it. Okay, and let me remind you where we are mathematically. So we're towards the end of the first pass on low algebra, and we will start soon declaring the goal for the high algebra part. Okay? But first, let's continue with the low algebra bit. So we constructed a certain map from the space of a core diagram as along a line, or maybe trivalent diagrams modulo IHX and STU, given a Lie algebra and a metric on the Lie algebra, into the universal enveloping algebra of that algebra. And what I want to do, so I want to do more than one thing today, but the first of which is to tell you how operations on A relate to operations on U. Okay? So the idea is that later on, we will see that we need to solve certain equations written in A. In our back of our minds at all time will be the fact that when you apply T to these equations, they become equations in U of G, and significant equations in U of G, equations that people in Lie theory cared about. Okay? So first of all, let me just give you four of the things that happen in the U of G side, and then I'll tell you how what they correspond to in the A side. Okay? So first of all, U of G is an algebra. Okay, so it has a multiplication map. And also, let me note that it is non-commutative. Okay? Two, U of G is a co-algebra. And the fact that it is a co-algebra, well, first of all, one can define the co-algebra map, okay, the co-product. The co-product is simply, if you have a word, right, so remember, U of G is equal to words in the alphabet G, modulo linearity in the letters, and also modulo the relation x bracket y is equal to xy minus yx. Okay? And then you can just define the coproduct in a similar way to all other coproducts that we've seen, which is if you have a word, you sum over all ways of splitting it and putting part of it to the left and part of it to the right. So, for example, I don't know, delta of the word xyz will be a sum of eight things, among which will be the term
XZ tensor Y, where you've split so that X and Z will go to the left and Y will go to the right.
Okay?
So U of G is a coalgebra, and I need to tell you in which sense A is a coalgebra. And it's in fact not the sense that we were talking about before. Okay? And then there are two little tiny theorems about U of G that I want to imitate in the A case, and this is the following. The universal enveloping algebra of a direct sum of two Lie algebras is canonically isomorphic to the tensor product of the two Lie algebras. Okay? So, first of all, why is it true? So, okay, first of all, the direct sum of two Lie algebras is exactly what you would think it is. So it's the direct sum of the Lie algebras as vector spaces with the bracket of an element here with an element here given by the bracket of G1. The bracket of an element in G2 with an element in G2 is given by the bracket of G2. And the bracket of something here with something here is declared to be zero. Okay? And then this claim is essentially obvious. Because if you have a word with letters in G1 and G2, so, you know, let's declare that the letters here are X, Y, and Z, and let's declare that the letters here are A, B, and C. Okay? You know what? No, let's make it more fun. Alpha, beta, and gamma. So, okay, these are Latin letters, and these are Greek letters, and Greek letters and Latin letters commute. Okay? This means that if you have a word which has a mixture of Latin letters and Greek letters, so if you have a word like alpha, x, gamma, beta, zy, well, in the universal enveloping algebra, it is equal to, since Greek and English commute, it is and Latin commute, it is equal to xz times alpha, gamma, beta, sorry, XZY times alpha, gamma, beta. In other words, you can sort the letters and put all the Latin letters first and all the Greek letters later. And then you can write this as XZY tensor alpha, gamma, beta. And I've just defined the map from the tensor, sorry, from the universal enveloping algebra of the direct sum to the tensor product of the universal enveloping algebra. Okay, so the map is first you sort the letters, and then you take the Greek ones to the right and the Latin ones to the left. Okay, and the inverse is also obvious, right? If you have a word in English, in Latin followed by a word in Greek, you just concatenate the words and you get a word in the common alphabet. And it's clearly an isomorphism. Okay? So we have this property. And finally, there is the PBW theorem. So the PBW theorem, I stated it earlier as saying that U of G as a vector space is the same as the vector space generated by sorted words. Okay? By words in which all letters are, or PBW words, words in which the letters appear in non-decreasing order. Okay? But equally well, I could have stated it as the universal enveloping algebra is isomorphic to the algebra of symmetric words. So symmetric words means just words in which you do not distinguish words if they only differ by the ordering of the letters. So, in other words, this is the set of all words, or more precisely, the linear span of all words in G, modulo the relation that if you have xy, it's just equal to yx with no price to pay. Unlike here where you pay a price, here you just don't pay a price. Okay? So the claim is that these two are isomorphic. Well, in fact, they are not isomorphic. Both are algebras, right? You can multiply words in U of G. You can multiply words in S of G. However, I'm not claiming that they are isomorphic as algebras. In fact, typically they are not, because S of G is always commutative, right? If you do not distinguish the order of the letters, if you multiply two words, it doesn't matter in which order you multiply them, you get the same answer. So this is always commutative. This is practically never commutative. If the Lie algebra is not abelian, this is not commutative. Okay? So I'm not claiming that they're isomorphic as algebras, but only as vector spaces, and in fact a little more than that, also as co-algebras. Both are co-algebras with the obvious co-product of splitting words to the two sides. And in fact, both are G-modules, so also as G-modules. Okay? So anyway, here are three facts about universal enveloping algebras. Okay? And if my overall picture of topology goes to combinatorics, goes to low algebra, is to have any sort of deeper meaning, then if we see something here, we should see at least some of it here and at least some of it here. Okay? So my purpose is, first of all, to push everything back up to combinatorics and tell you what the corresponding statements on A are, and later to push it also to topology. Yes?
What do you mean by G-module? What does it mean? Like, you can multiply it from left to right by elements of G, right?
No, it's the commutator. So you multiply by the left minus you multiply on the right. This is on U of G. Okay, in S of G, it's a G module by acting on every letter. But I think I will probably skip this, so okay. Anyway, good. So the first one is kind of obvious. Okay? So what is the relationship between the algebra structure here of U of G and the algebra structure of A? Well, the obvious one, okay? So, or in other words, the algebra structure on A, which maps to the algebra structure of U of G, is the obvious one. So, in other words, we have that A of a single line tensor, A of a single line maps to A of a single line via the multiplication that we defined a while ago, just concatenation of diagrams. And the assertion that I would like to make is that if you apply T of G tensor T of G, so that you land in U of G tensor U of G, and then apply multiplication so that you are in U of G, then you get a commutative diagram with the tensor map over here. Okay, so the claim is that this is commutative. Okay? So, I need to tell you three things, three things. First of all, that the proof is obvious, but there are two sort of little further observations to make about it. So first of all, the proof is that it's obvious. Okay? So clearly, so let me remind you how the TG map was defined. Well, if we had a diagram, we labeled it, and then we, for the internal parts of the diagram, we formed a certain product of factors that came from the Lie algebraic structure, so brackets and inverse matrix. Okay, or matrix entries in the inverse matrix of the matrix representing the metric. Okay? And then we just read the letters that we see along the skeleton of the diagram in order and interpreted them as a word made out of basis elements in the universal enveloping algebra. So if it was labeled A, B, D, C, E, it went to X, A, X, B, X, D, X, C, X, E, where these are basis elements of the Lie algebra, and that's a word in the universal enveloping algebra. Okay? And of course, this gets summed over the indices. But the point is that we just read, but still the point is that we read the word in the universal enveloping algebra by reading these letters in order. Okay? So, if we now have two diagrams, so here is one, and it's concatenated with another, it's clear that our construction is can be factored. Okay, it's clear that we get a certain word from here and another word from here, and the pair of and the concatenation of the diagrams gets mapped to the product of these two words. Okay, so that's the commutativity of this diagram. So the proof is that it's obvious. However, there are, here is an observation. However, this algebra is non-commutative, while this algebra is commutative. Okay? So something is wrong here. And the thing that is wrong is that the tensor map was never claimed to be onto. Okay? And in fact, the tensor map always maps into the invariant part of the universal enveloping algebra. Okay? So let me explain this. So first of all, the universal enveloping algebra. Okay, so first of all, the Lie algebra G is itself a G module, is itself a representation of G. Okay? And the representation is, well, you just declare that, I just need to construct a certain, I need to explain how G is a representation of G, so I need to construct a map called add, going from G into the endomorphisms of G. Okay? And I need to tell you that this is a representation. Okay? But the map is just a map which maps add. Well, okay. If I have an element x here, then add x, well, it has to be an endomorphism of G. So I have to tell you how it acts on an element y. And by definition, it acts on y as the bracket of x and y. Okay? So, and then you can check that this is a representation, and the fact that this is a representation is precisely the Jacobi identity. Okay? So, this is a representation if and only if the Jacobi identity holds in the Lie algebra.
Okay, so, well, since we have Lie algebra, the Jacobi identity holds, and therefore this is a representation. Okay? But now that G is a G module, it follows that every tensor product of G's is a G module. So if you have G tensor G tensor G, it's a G module as well. Is a G module. Because at some point we said that the tensor product of representations is representations, so this is again a representation. Okay? So therefore three-letter words, also four-letter words, are make a G module. And then you can check that arbitrary words by the same way make a G module. Okay? So let's see how it works. So by the way, how is this a G module? So suppose you have an element X of the Lie algebra. How does it act on a tensor product? So by definition, it's an infinitesimal action. So it acts by Leibniz's rule. So you look at the sum of acting on the first element plus acting on the second element plus acting on the third element. Okay? So therefore, in general, if you have X and you want to know how it acts on, so this is an X in the Lie algebra, and you want to know how it acts on a word Y, Z, W, which is in the universal enveloping algebra, then by definition, it acts by first acting on Y, then add to it the action on Z, then add to it the action on W. So it's X bracket Y multiplied by ZW plus X bracket Z, sorry, plus Y times X bracket Z multiplied by W plus YZ times X acting on W. Okay? But this, well, so this is general. This is how you would act on G tensor, G tensor, G. But we are in U of G. And in U of G, the bracket is equal to the commutator. Okay? So X bracket Y, so X bracket Y times ZW is also XY minus YX times ZW. Okay? And then the next term is Y times XZ minus ZX times W. And then the next term is Y Z times XW minus WX. Okay? And if you look at this, then let's see. YXZW appears here, but also YXZW appears here. And YZXW appears here, but also here, YZXW. Well, and in general, you'll get a telescopic sum, and only the first and last term remain. So the result is XYZW minus YZWX, which is what I told Yuri in the beginning. So it's acting by left multiplication minus right multiplication. So this is left multiplication by X on the word we started from, minus right multiplication by X on the word we started from. Okay? Anyway, so I just told you how U of G is a G module. If it's a G module, it has an invariant part. The invariant part is the part that is acted on by, sorry, who on which G acts by zero, okay? And the claim is that you always get stuff
in the invariant part of U of G. Okay? So there are maybe the abstract way to prove it is the best way to prove it. Okay? So the point is that every bit of the construction was invariant. Okay? So when we wrote this using tensors, all the tensors that we used were invariant. And so when you contract them together, you get an invariant answer. Okay? So this is sort of the abstract way of getting it, and you can of showing it, but you could also go completely concrete. Okay? You can also well, I don't think I want to do it, but you can basically do everything by hand and get the same answer. Okay? Anyway, the invariant part of U of G is just the center of U of G. It's the collection of all things. Okay, so this is also just the center of U of G, because it's the collection of all elements in U of G, which, when you multiply them on the left by something or on the right by the same thing, you get the same answer. So it's the collection of all things that commute with all x's, and therefore with everything else. Okay? So the map that we have constructed doesn't somehow capture all of U of G, but only the center of U of G, and the center of an algebra is obviously a commutative algebra. So that explains the little discrepancy that we have here. Okay? And so that was one comment. And the other comment is that this can be generalized, and when you generalize it, the discrepancy disappears. Okay? So let's generalize it. Just like we have A of a single arrow, we can talk about A of two arrows, of a skeleton made of two arrows, or in general, a skeleton made out of N arrows. Okay? So maybe I'll just give a typical diagram here. So a typical diagram here will look like two skeleton lines, okay? And then a certain diagram made out of chords and also trivalent vertices lying in between, okay? Such diagrams, so that would be a map inside here. Okay? Much of this construction is completely local. Okay? You just look at the neighborhood of a vertex and you read off the structure constants. So this construction doesn't even see the fact that the skeleton has changed. Okay? So apply the same construction. The only difference is that now we have two lines along which we can read an element of the universal enveloping algebra. So maybe, when you label everything, this will be labeled A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, K. Okay? And there will also be internal labels, which I'm skipping. But these labels will go to X. Well, you'll have lots of factors from the internal labels and a big summation. And then you'll just read these and you'll read x sub a, x sub b, x sub c, blah, 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 up to x sub e. And then tensor it with xf, xg, xh, xk. So xf times up to xk. And you got an element in the universal enveloping algebra, tensor itself. Okay? And in general, we have a map T sub G going from A based on a skeleton with n lines going into the universal enveloping algebra of G tensor to the n. Okay? And to be perfectly fair, just as before, since this construction involved only invariant ingredients, the end result is invariant. Okay? So the end result, so the output of this construction, is always in the invariant piece of U of G to the n. Okay? However, two things change between the case where n is greater than 1 and the case where n is equal to 1. So when n is greater than 1, two things change. First of all, A of arrow sub n, well, is still an algebra, because if you have two such diagrams, you can still concatenate them. Okay? Is an algebra as before, but this time it is not commutative. Okay? Why is it not commutative? So let's go back and try to remember why A of a single arrow was commutative. Okay? A of a single skeleton line was commutative. So the reason why it was commutative was that if we had two such diagrams and we wanted to move this one from one side to the other, okay, we could just pull one of the legs, sort of have it float in air, and then sum over all ways of connecting it near near the left part, and this sum by STU relations and IHX, basically this hook argument, put all the hooks, and by STU and IHX and antisymmetry, this sum is equal to zero, except for this term and that term, and therefore these two terms are equal. Well, they come with opposite signs, so they're equal. So therefore you can move a leg to the other side. Okay? If you try to do it on a diagram which has two skeleton pieces, so suppose I want to move the Y to the other side of the X. Okay, so I mean, in this picture, well, I would try to do the same thing. So I would disconnect the leg. I will put all the hooks as before. And sum over all ways of connecting the Y to the hooks. The result that I, or connecting this leg to the hooks, all internal terms will drop out as before. But what stays is four terms. It's this, that, this, and that. Two of these terms correspond to moving the leg of the Y the way we wanted to move it. But the other two terms have do not get canceled. So I cannot move legs to the other side. Okay? Are you still with me? Is this still okay? Okay. So the moral is that this is an algebra, but it is not commutative. Well, sorry, the proof of commutativity fails. You can actually check, verify that it actually is not commutative. Okay, you can just write down everything in degree, probably 4,
probably the smallest degree where you'll see non-commutativity will be degree 4. In fact, x and y will not commute. And that's probably the smallest non-commutativity that you will see. But since everything is graded, you can write everything explicitly and you can check that it doesn't commute. Okay. So point number 2 is that that when n is greater than 1, u of g tensor to the n, the invariant part, is not the center of u of g tensor to the n. Okay? It's in fact, what is it? It's bigger than the center. Anything in the center is invariant, but not the other way around. And, well, I'll leave it for you to check. But anyway, so somehow T of G, when n is greater than 1, is more representative than in the case n equals 1, because it maps a non-commutative algebra to an honestly non-commutative algebra to an honestly non-commutative algebra. Okay. Yes.
If the skeleton is trivalent graphs, do we have a T of G like this?
Yes, but it's a bit harder to define. Or rather, it's a little harder to declare what the target space will be. And I will do it at some point later on, but not yet.
Okay.
Okay, so this is all I had to say about point number 1. Now let's do point number 2. So point number 2, well, U of G is a coalgebra. So there is a map U of G into U of G tensor squared, and it's called delta. And now we already know what is the combinatorial analog of U of G tensor squared. It is not A tensor squared, but rather A on the skeleton of two lines. So we should have here A on one line and here A on two lines. There is a map from here to here called T of G. There is a map from here to here, I just constructed it, called T of G. And the question is, what is the map over here, which of course we will also call delta, which makes this square commutative? Okay? So the question is, how do you map? So if you have a diagram on, on a single line skeleton, how do you map it into a diagram on a skeleton which has two lines in it, so that this diagram will commute? Okay? And here is the answer. So the map delta is the map which maps, basically you double the skeleton line, and you replace every vertex on the skeleton line by the sum of the two ways of lifting it to either the first daughter strand or the second daughter strand. So in other words, you put here a summation, and here a summation of the two possibilities of lifting the diagram to the to either one of the strands. Okay? So to be more precise, this notation means this is a sum of 16 diagrams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of 32 diagrams, which are the sum of the 32 ways of choosing for each leg whether it lifts to the bottom strand or to the top strand. Okay, so a typical element would be okay, I've lifted three of the legs to the top strand and two to the bottom strand. Okay? Okay, now I only have one claim to make. Okay, sorry, no, I have several claims to make. First of all, delta is well defined, so it maps STU relations to STU relations and it's easy to check. It's the usual argument that, well, I will not even say it. Okay, if you lift the two, well, I will not say it, okay? Then the claim to make is that it makes this diagram commutative, okay? So, but again, this is obvious, because, right, this is going to get mapped to a word whose letters correspond to the legs of the diagram. Okay? And then here I choose for each leg whether it goes to the left strand, to the top strand or the bottom strand, or if you wish, the left strand or the right strand. And here I choose for each letter, right, the coproduct on U of G is defined by choosing for each letter whether it goes to the first tensor factor or to the second tensor factor. So it's clearly the same. Okay, are you okay with this, or is it too vague? Okay. So so we've done the second point, and it's taken a lot longer than I expected. So let's do the third point. So the third point is a bit tricky. So I claim that the following diagram is commutative. Well, A maps into, okay, via the coproduct of A, which we call box at some point, to A tensor A, and if you choose a, okay, if you choose two Lie algebras, so given two Lie algebras, G1 and G2, then you can take the tensor map of the direct sum Lie algebra and you will get an output in U of G1 direct sum G2, okay, which is isomorphic, as I stated, to U of G1 tensor U of G2. But I could also go from here to here by tensoring the tensor map of G1 with the tensor map of G2. Okay? So the claim is that this is a commutative diagram. Okay? So somehow the obvious coproduct of A, okay, which really maps A to A tensor A, right, as opposed to delta, which maps A of one strand to A of two strands. I mean, this is sort of the more honest coproduct. It corresponds to somehow the isomorphism that I stated before. Okay? So I don't think I want to state it. I don't think I want to prove it. So I'll leave it as an exercise. Okay, so I guess the only point is that sort of these operations, these
facts about the algebras have combinatorial analogs, which in themselves have not theoretic analogs, as we shall see later. And then fact number four, which again I will not prove, is the PBW theorem, translated to a theorem about diagrams. Okay? So how did PBW work? So PBW is the assertion that words, so you know, the words are always words in the Lie algebra, so I will not write it. Okay? So words modulo a relation that has to do with the bracket and the ordering of the letters is isomorphic to words, or sorry, let's say it differently. This is ordered words. So words in which the ordering of the letters matters, modulo a relation that plays with the ordering, is isomorphic to unordered words. Okay? This is the PBW theorem for Lie algebras. Okay? So this should correspond to, or this in combinatorics corresponds to diagrams along a skeleton modulo a relation in which you can move around things along the skeleton. So this is the STU relation. And then if I am to blindly copy the procedure written here, then what I should do is, well, the only thing that the skeleton gives is an ordering of the ends. Okay? So if I want to switch to unordered words, I have to drop the skeleton. Okay? So this should be diagrams that have no skeleton. Okay? So they just have ends, but the ends are not ordered. Okay, so the diagrams are trivalent graphs as before, with legs, but the legs are not ordered. And these I mod out by the same relations as before, except dropping the STU relation. Okay? So this space was called A. This space is hereby declared to be B. Okay? And then the claim, okay, the claim, which is diagrammatic PBW, is the claim that A is isomorphic to B. Okay? So, again, just to be clear once again about what B is, so B is the space of all unitrivalent graphs, so graphs that have univalent ends and trivalent ends, and sorry, univalent vertices and trivalent vertices, not necessarily connected, so here's a two-component graph, okay? The univalent vertices are indistinguishable, not ordered in any way. The trivalent vertices are oriented the usual way, and you mod out by antisymmetry and IHX. Okay? So, maybe I'll just add you know what? I'll stop for now. When I'll need to say more about this, there is more to say about this statement. For example, I'm claiming that it's an isomorphism, but I didn't tell you what the isomorphism is or what the map is. Okay? But anyway, when I'll need to say more about this statement, I will. At the moment, let's just stop.